This afternoon, we're going to return once again to the book of Revelation. We're reading Revelation chapter 8. We're going to read verses 7 through 13. And you'll remember that we're hearing trumpets in Revelation chapter 8. And last Lord's Day, in order for us to understand some of the significance of those trumpets, we went to the walls of Jericho, where in the book of Joshua, we read about the seven trumpeting priests. You remember those seven priests with their trumpets who went around the city for 6 days blasting their trumpets, warning that idolatrous city that the judgment of God was coming. In Revelation chapter 8, John picks up on that imagery in his vision. Because John describes for us a series of angelic trumpets that sound the alarm as God begins to rain judgment down on the city of this world, the home of the earth dwellers who are not citizens of heaven, but who are deeply invested in this world. Listen, here's God's word, Revelation chapter 8, beginning at verse 7. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of that star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel crying with a loud voice. I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blasts of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. That's the word of God. Let's pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we heard the prophet Amos speak of a famine of hearing your word. We thank you this afternoon for the high privilege that we have to hear the word of God, and we ask that you would give us ears to hear, and that we might hear it with understanding, that we would receive it with faith, and that we might have hope in the Savior. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are in September of 2020, and it seems that one thing is piling up after another. It seems like we go from crisis to crisis. What a year this has been. One thing after another with seemingly no let up. In actual fact, it's not just that one thing comes after another. It seems that one thing overlaps with another, so that at any point in time, it feels like we're dealing with layer upon layer of stress and confusion and bewilderment. And of course, as we come to terms with the reality, the difficult realities in which we find ourselves, we remember that the Lord Jesus has alerted us that this would be the case. And we've reminded ourselves of Jesus' words in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 33, when he says to his people, "In this world you will have trouble, you will have trials, there will be tribulation, but do not be afraid, I have overcome the world." And Jesus assures his people that in him they may have peace in spite of turbulent circumstances. We live in a world in which Jesus has already alerted us to the fact that there will be upset, there will be confusion, there will be disorder. We remember Jesus' words in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, when he tells his disciples that there will be wars and rumors of wars, but don't be alarmed because the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various parts of the world, but the end is not yet. Jesus alerts us to the fact that as we go through history, we go through a history that is turbulent, that is chaotic, that is disordered. But as we come to Revelation chapter 8, John describes that reality for us in vivid visual form. And as we come to understand something of these trumpets that John describes for us, and as we grapple, and you heard the imagery that I described, and I know that as you heard John's descriptions of the horrific catastrophes and the devastating, chaotic disasters that he described, you're wondering what's going on, what's happening, what do these things mean, what do these things mean for me? And we have a key to that at the end of the passage that we read together, verse 13, in which John describes a great eagle flying overhead, crying out with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blasts of the other trumpets which the three angels are about to blow." We've already heard four trumpets sounded. There's been all kinds of chaos and turmoil as a result. The eagle interprets that for us. Woe to those who dwell on the earth. In other words, the eagle speaks of the chaos, the turmoil, and the distress that's experienced by those who are earth dwellers, those who are not citizens of heaven, but those whose permanent address is here on earth. People who don't have thought for heaven, people who don't have hope for eternity, people who are grappling with chaotic circumstances without a place of refuge or shelter. These are earth dwellers. I want briefly this afternoon to unpack the verses and the imagery that we heard read. And I want to do it briefly in these ways. We want to think about the hard times that these earth dwellers are experiencing. We want to think about the hardness of their hearing. And we want to think about the hardness of their hearts with the prayer that God will give us grace not to be hard of hearing and not to be hard-hearted. Look at the hard times experienced by the dwellers on earth, the earth dwellers. And the images that John gives us are startling and graphic images. Here is catastrophe after catastrophe, disaster after disaster befalling those who are dwellers on the earth. And as we hear what John has to describe for us, we realize that the place in which these people are living is not a place that is able to sustain and protect life. It's a dangerous place in which to live. And you saw the imagery that John used to describe just how dangerous, how vulnerable, how frail, how exposed, and how fragile and unstable that environment is. You can imagine perhaps going to buy a home and considering a certain house. There's a nice big mountain behind it. The realtor says, yeah, it's a fantastic view, but you know, it's a live volcano back there. And yeah, there have been a few signs that it might be about to erupt, but yeah, you're down here in the nice valley, but actually there's a fault line here, and there's been some evidence that maybe the fault line is about there might be some tectonic event that's about to happen, and it's a fine house, but the basement, there's radon problems there, and this is Hurricane Alley, and you're going to say, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not going to live here. This place is not a safe place in which to live. What John is describing for us is an environment that's not a safe environment in which to live. And the reality is that you and I living in a fallen world are not living in a place in which it's safe to live. That's why the earth dwellers find themselves in such a precarious position, because this is all they have. And yes, it might look solid and safe and secure, but in actual fact, and haven't we seen it to be the case, in actual fact, things are not as stable, they're not as secure as we might imagine. And as the trumpets sound, And as the evidences of that insecurity are manifest, God is sending clear signals that this is a dangerous environment. The trumpets that sounded outside the walls of the city of Jericho. There is Jericho with its great big solid robust walls. It seems absolutely secure, absolutely unshakable. And as those seven trumpets sounded outside the walls of Jericho, they heralded the fact that those walls were coming down. They were going to be destroyed. And as John's vision picks up on that imagery, and as trumpets are sounded, and those trumpets herald all kinds of catastrophes and disasters, it is a reminder that what seems solid and secure is not quite as solid and secure as it looks. Now, there are important lessons for us. John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, do not love this world or the things of this world. The one who loves this world is at enmity with God, for the world and the things of it are passing away. These things are transient. They are not permanent. Paul, writing at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, speaking of the things that are seen are transient. The people of God, if you're a child of God, you look beyond the visible reality. We persevere as those who see that which is invisible. But you see, the warning here is don't be deeply invested in the things of this world. Don't take your security from the things of this world, because these things are not as stable. They're not as reliable. They're not the solid foundation that you imagine them to be. And aren't we so powerfully reminded of that by the events of this year? But the events of history remind us that even though we get lulled into false senses of security, this world is an uncertain and unpredictable place where, quite frankly, bad things happen, disasters befall, catastrophes take place. These things, this world, is a dangerous environment. If you are an earth dweller, remember the distinction that Revelation makes, those who dwell on earth, the citizens of earth, those whose permanent address is in this world, they are living in a dangerous place. That's why it's so important for us to be citizens of heaven. That's the alternative. Citizens of heaven, those who trust in the Lord Jesus. Those who, and we heard Jesus speaking in Mark's gospel, those who are like little children, of such is the kingdom of heaven. Those who recognize their need for care and protection and who turn to the Savior and in doing so become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. The hard times experienced by the earth dwellers. These are hard times, but these earth dwellers, they're hard of hearing. Because the trumpets are sounding and they're not getting the message. That's the picture that John describes for us. Four trumpets sound. Four catastrophes befall the earth. And at the end of those four trumpets, the earth dwellers haven't learned their lesson. There are more trumpets to come. There's more disaster yet to befall them, but they've not learned the lesson. Now, we look at the disasters that John describes and the imagery. I know the imagery is startling imagery, and you see those images and you think, what's going on? You reach for the newspaper. What's John, is this atomic warfare that he's describing? Is he talking about the California wildfires? What is it that's pictured in these images? But you know, when we come to the kind of imagery that John gives us in Revelation, how do we unlock Scripture? There are a lot of people who unlock Scripture by turning on their television, by tuning into the news channel, by listening to this one or that one, interpreting the events that are going on around them. We understand what Scripture is teaching by what Scripture teaches elsewhere. It is by Scripture that we interpret Scripture. You remember Isaiah speaking to the people in chapter 8, verse 20 of his prophecy and saying, go to the testimony, go to the prophets. If the people that you're listening to don't agree with the prophets, don't agree with the testimony of Scripture, There's no light in them. They're absolutely in the dark if the things that they're saying don't agree with Scripture. And so we look at these vivid images that John describes for us, and we think, what's going on here? These blazing mountains, these stars, the sun darkened, and the waters polluted and made toxic and poisonous and all the rest of it. What on earth is going on? And this language that John uses, these images, these are the images that are used elsewhere in Scripture. We saw some of them used in the book of Amos to describe the coming judgment on the kingdom of Judah. It's the kind of language that's used elsewhere in the Old Testament to describe God's judgment. And of course, particularly, it's the kind of imagery and language that's used in Exodus to describe the plagues that God sent on the idolatrous kingdom of Egypt, the place where the waters were polluted and turned to blood, where the land was ravaged, where the crops did not grow, where the sun was darkened. You see, these are images that convey the idea that God is sounding a warning. You remember this sequence of plagues in Egypt that went all the way up through the ninth plague, the plague of darkness. And at each plague, the people of Egypt, by and large, there were some exceptions, the people of Egypt, by and large, continued to turn a deaf ear to the message, to the alarm that God was sounding in their ears as he sent plague after plague on their land. Those plagues conveyed a message, and the people of Israel, the people of Egypt, were hard of hearing. They didn't get the message. Remember the magicians of Pharaoh, who said, "This is the finger of God." They recognized that God was at work, but they continued in their rebellion against God. You see, that's what John is picturing for us in the sounding of these first four trumpets. These are events that are calculated to get the attention of earth dwellers, to remind them that they need to come to terms with God, that there's a day of reckoning and accounting coming. And they're hard of hearing. They're not getting the message. The word is not getting through to them. And that's a serious thing. People who fail to get the message. Remember how God spoke by prophet after prophet. And the writer to the Hebrews says, and many times in various ways, God spoke to our forefathers by the prophet. Think of Moses and the plagues. God spoke to our forefathers by the prophets. Warnings, truths, the call to be reconciled to God. But, says the writer to the Hebrews, in these last days he has spoken to us by a son. The sending of God's son into the world is God's great call to us to be reconciled to him. And as we see the calamity that befell the Lord Jesus on the cross, when the earth was plunged into darkness, when Jesus was dried up and parched and thirsty, when he was offered wine that was embittered with gall, we see the Lord Jesus bearing the punishment for sin. And as we see Jesus on the cross, that is it's a warning to us that if we don't have Jesus for our Savior, then the wrath and judgment of God falls on us. But as Paul tells us in Romans 8, for those who are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. Jesus provides a place of refuge so that the harm that befalls the earth dwellers, the harm, and remember, this is symbolic language that John's using, but the trials, the difficulties, the setbacks, the griefs and the sorrows that beset the earth dwellers, God's people, even though they experience trial and difficulty, they have the comfort and consolation and peace that the Lord Jesus gives. And like Paul, we're able to say, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content, because the ones trusting in Jesus are able to look beyond the crises, beyond the disasters, beyond the hurts, beyond the confusion, and know that our home is solid and unshaken. And so these earth dwellers are hard of hearing. They're not getting the message, even though the message seems to be so vivid and so striking and so unavoidable. Somehow they're stopping up their ears. And of course, that speaks to us of the hardness of their hearts. They are committed to the things of earth. They're committed to their rebellion against God, their defiance of God. They're committed to keeping God out. And they're committed to establishing their own earthly kingdom in all of its frailness and vulnerability, because that's all they have. And you remember what happened with Pharaoh. As he and his fellow countrymen turned a deaf ear to the warnings that God was giving through the plagues sent on Egypt, his heart became hard. And this, his hardness of heart led to his downfall and his destruction. You see, here's the ultimate warning, that as we stop our ears to the reminders that this world is insecure, that this world is not our home, if we continually stop up our ears to those reminders, then we run the risk of having hard hearts. The writer to the Hebrews says, today when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Have a soft heart. Be responsive. And isn't it so sweet? And wasn't it wonderful that as Jesus rebuked his disciples, and as Jesus showed how much he cared about those children, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven belongs to little ones like this. Children who recognize their need to be cared for and protected, who recognize their vulnerability and helplessness, who look to their parents to protect them, to care for them, to give them direction and instruction. The Savior invites us to be like little children, to rest on him in faith, to enjoy the benefits, the blessings that are graciously extended in the gospel promise, the promise that is, remember Peter's words at Pentecost, the promise to us, to our children, to those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And as our God calls today, if you hear his voice, if you recognize the fragility, the uncertainty, the instability of being an earth dweller, as you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Be like a little child. Receive the offer of salvation freely given in Jesus the Savior. Let's pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for vivid pictures conveying vital truths. We pray that we would have soft and responsive hearts, gladly responding to the message of the gospel spoken to us in the Lord Jesus. And we pray that we might have great peace and confidence, knowing that you are the one who is our protector, and being assured that the Lord Jesus has prepared a place for us, so that where he is, there we may be also. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.